move through Pastor John. You know, it says in the Psalm 119, it says, I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. And what it means there is that when we mesh the thinking of the world with the Word of God, we're going to get in trouble. But our mind should be totally and steadfastly upon God's Word. And so, Father, we pray that our mind would not be double-minded today, but our hearts would be set and focused upon you 100%. And Father, as Pastor John brings forth your word today, may he distribute the bread of life, and may we take of it, and may we be nourished by it here today. Lord, impart life, impart direction, impart whatever you desire through the Holy Spirit here today. Father, we ask that you move through and upon Pastor John as he ministers, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, the last time I spoke to you, if you remember, was a couple of weeks back, and I spoke about accepting the call that God has on our life with all of our heart. And we saw that if we're going to answer God's call for our life, and if we want to walk in His purpose and plan that God has designed specifically for us, and if we want to get the most, you know, out of our relationship with God, which includes receiving all of the benefits and blessings from God, then we need to run after God with all of our heart. We can't do it half-heartedly. God's not looking for a people to love Him with 50% of their heart. You know, I never saw that in the Bible anywhere, you know, where it says, yeah, give the Lord 25% of yourself. It doesn't even say even 75 or 80. He's looking for us to love Him with all of our heart. Deuteronomy 6:5 tells us, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and the heart they place first. Matthew 22:36-38, when Jesus was asked what was the most important commandment, he used the same command and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the greatest commandment. In Romans, it talks about the fact that beliefs are held in our heart. Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess or declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We keep hearing more and more about the heart. Hebrews 4:12 tells us the Word of God is living and active and that it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Everything about us in some way has to do with what's going on in here in our heart. You know, even the things we can't see, maybe we don't even understand it sometimes, but things are going on. Whatever comes at us in this world, whatever we get from the world, from our mind, from God, it affects how we are and what we become and our core person, and that's what we call our heart. When we look at a person, we can only see what's on the outside, but you know, we're told in the scripture that God doesn't judge people by what he sees on the outside. He judges us by our hearts. And in fact, he considers the heart a very, very important thing, the most important part of us. In scripture, the heart is considered the essence of who we are. When we say our heart, we're talking about the core or the center of our being, the real me, the me that's me. When Jesus was first beginning his ministry in the book of Luke 4:18, he announced his mission, why he had come here, what he was about to do, why he was here and what he was here to do. And he said, he actually used Isaiah 61:1, and this is what he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up or heal the brokenhearted. That's why he came here, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release the prisoners. But he came here to heal the broken hearts. He came to heal our broken heart so we could operate and function with a whole heart, so that we could be free to love and to serve God with our whole heart, the way we were designed to do, so that we could now walk in our purpose and our calling from with a right heart. We saw that in Proverbs 4:23 that God calls our heart the wellspring of life. The life that God wants us to live can only happen when it flows out of a whole, healed heart. We're told that we must guard our heart above all else. God knows that if we're ever to be truly successful in life, especially successful in serving Him, it will only happen if we put our whole heart into it. This is where we hold our deepest beliefs. This is where our faith is. This is where we meet and feel and know God's love. This is where we experience that love, in our heart. We don't love with our mind. I mean, we can declare our love, we can think about our love, but when we say we love, we feel it somehow. We know that it's something deeper than just a thought, just something deeper than we put on a piece of paper. This love comes from what we are and who we are. And God reaches into us and He speaks to our heart. It's where we hold our deepest beliefs. The greatest minds of history are known as great because they belong to a people who were passionate about what they believed in. They put their whole heart into what they were doing, into what they were working on. They gave it their all. And we need to guard our heart above all else so it doesn't fall prey now to attack and once again become broken or become diseased. And that's what I want to talk about today is heart disease. It's interesting how throughout the Bible, God uses the physical body and natural things to explain to us and show us, give an analogy about the spiritual things and the spiritual body. And in fact, when we look at the church, even as the church of Jesus is called the head of the church, and we're the body. So He's always using our physical body and physical things to explain what's going on in the spiritual realm so we can sort of get a picture, so we can understand. Well, just as we saw that God looks not at our outward body, but He sees our heart, I mentioned that a minute ago, and how the heart is considered the essence or the core of who and what we are, we see in the physical body, the heart is at the center of our physical body. It's the central or the core part of our body. It's what keeps our body alive. If our heart stops beating, we die. If our heart becomes diseased, we get sick, and maybe we die. Cardiovascular disease, which has to do with the heart, heart disease, is the number one killer in the world. 40% of adults die from some type of heart disease. It's more than all the other top 5, 6, 7 causes of death. Heart, things that have to do with our heart. The heart is something that's very important. It keeps us alive. Heart disease can weaken us. It can slow us down. It can, you know, it can cripple us. It can, you know, eventually kill us. And it's the same in the spiritual sense. And that's what God wants us to see, that a diseased heart, a broken, hurting, ruined heart can destroy the call of God upon our life. It can knock us out of the picture, not only for here, but for all eternity. Wow. So that heart disease is way worse than the natural heart disease. Over and over throughout the Bible, we find descriptions of different heart conditions. Heart conditions that have negative consequences. For example, in Matthew 13:15, it says, "For this people's heart has become calloused." Alex, you know about calluses, right? Alex hasn't been up here singing now for probably about 6 or 7 weeks because she found out that she had calluses on her vocal cords. She was having trouble singing, and that's why she's not up here. And she's waiting until these calluses go away. You know, when you work hard at something, you know, you sometimes find these calluses. And a little over 10 years ago, I think it was, my dad, my father had a his heart had become physically calloused. He had something called pericarditis. And what that is around his heart, around our hearts, there's this little flexible sac that's supposed to be just a thin membrane. And it sort of holds, you know, stuff together and keeps other stuff from, you know, coming in contact with it. It helps to work with the heart. And his, though, became like leather. They said it was hard. It was like calloused. And this, and it was so callous, so hard, that it was literally squeezing his heart to death. They said in another couple months he would have died because it was getting thicker and harder and thicker and harder, and pretty soon his heart was just going to be squeezed to death. So they had to surgically remove this protective sac to get rid of it. And that's what God has done to us. He's performed surgery on our hearts that were calloused in a way where we couldn't feel, where we, you know, were, you know, sometimes we have, like say I have calluses on my fingertips from playing guitar. You might get calluses on your hand from working hard. You might get calluses on your feet if you, you know, you don't wear shoes and you, you know, you run around outside all summer. You'll get hard calluses and you don't feel things. And that's how our heart can get calloused. And so God did this operation on us and this surgery that removes the calluses on our heart. In Romans 2:29, he calls it a circumcision of the heart. And it's the Holy Spirit who actually came and performed the surgery. One of the most famous stories in the Old Testament was when Joshua, Caleb, and 10 other men that were called from the different tribes were sent out to explore the promised land. And if you remember the story, when they came back, Joshua and Caleb wanted to go in and take the land, but the other 10 weren't. They were afraid. They saw giants in the land. They were scared. And so they spread a bad report among the people. They convinced them that it was too dangerous. And so they made everybody afraid to go take the land. Deuteronomy 1:28 says that our brothers have made us lose heart, or they made our hearts melt in fear, depending on which translation you look at. Hearts that melted in fear. They lost heart. When we lose heart, there's fear there. It doesn't seem worth the effort. It doesn't seem worth the risk. We don't want to take that on, and we don't want to go after the things that God has promised us, just like they didn't want to go after the land that God promised them. How many times have we lost heart and been afraid to step out in our calling, have been afraid to press on with God, been afraid to continue on in the area that we feel God called us to, in our calling, in our walk, because we lost heart, because something beat us down. Something scared us. Something hurt us. How many times maybe even was it like there, our brothers and sisters who possibly discouraged us? Or maybe we were even one of the ones who discouraged somebody else and caused someone to lose heart. We don't want to be that person that loses or causes someone else to lose heart. A lost heart is a form of heart disease. It's just as bad as a calloused heart. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen or let them fade or slip from your heart as long as you live." So we can have where our heart is losing things. It's things are slipping out of our heart that shouldn't. How many times have we seen God move in our life and somehow those things just slipped away? Maybe he moves in a powerful way and that God really touched us. He really moved on us and we absolutely knew it was God and that he'd done something, and yet somehow it just, over time, it just sort of slipped away. And we forget about the power of God. We forget about the things that he did for us. Just like the Israelites when they were escaping Egypt, it wasn't long before they were complaining that God wasn't helping them. You know what it's like? It's like having a leaky valve in our heart where things keep just leaking out. And that's another form of heart disease. Not remembering what God has done. Psalm 62:10 says, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Luke 12:29, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for that's what the pagan world does. It runs after such things. Now we're talking about a misplaced heart. Putting our heart on something else other than God. Imagine if this heart was misplaced. Imagine if a child was born and they found that its heart was down in its leg somehow. That child would never survive. Because the heart is misplaced. Well, when our heart is misplaced, we take our heart and we set it, instead of on God, on the things of God, we set it on money. We set it on work. We set it on our pride. We set it on lusts and different things like that. It's another form of heart disease. Romans 2:5 tells us a very serious heart condition. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. I don't know about you, but I'm not really into having wrath stored up against me. How would you think about that? You know, just imagine if it was fire. Imagine if it was bullets or, you know, bombs or whatever, and it's coming against you. And God says, yeah, I'm gonna start storing that up, and one day I'm going to give it all to you. Because of your unrepentant heart, that can happen. So that's a dangerous condition that needs to be dealt with. Unrepentance. Another serious heart disease is a hardened heart. Ephesians 4:18, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Wow. So if our heart is hardened, it says that we're going to be separated from the life of God. How could we ever walk in our calling? How could we ever serve God and love God and feel God's love if we're separated from the life of God? So we have to make sure that our heart doesn't get hard against God, against his people, against his word, against life. We don't want to be hard-hearted kind of person. Hebrews 3:12 warns us of another heart problem. You see, there's so many things about our heart written in the Bible. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. An unbelieving heart. A sinful, unbelieving heart. Proverbs 18:12. Before a downfall, the heart is proud. When we get proud and our heart's filled with pride, God's saying there's going to become a downfall. There's going to be a downfall. Pride goeth before the fall. We've heard that scripture. God gives grace to the humble, but causes the proud to stumble. There's all types, all different kinds of diseased hearts. I only named a few of them. There's many more in the Bible. There's unforgiving hearts. There's hearts that are full of selfish ambition, hearts that are full of lust, adulterous hearts, hearts that are just set on all kinds of things besides God. And all those are not functioning right. They're diseased hearts. They're not at ease with God. They're not in tune with God, flowing in God's way, and so they're in dis-ease. And there's going to be turmoil then in those hearts. There's going to be hardships in that life because of the dis-ease of the heart. Just like in the natural, when we have a diseased heart. If you know someone that's got a really bad heart or really bad lungs or really bad any kind of, you know, ailment, you know that it makes it harder for us to function and, you know, work and do all the things we want to do and to live. Well, this is talking about the heart, and it's the same in the spiritual. When we have these different conditions in our heart, it's going to make it hard for us to be at peace with God. Hard for us to be at one with God. Like that one says, separated from the life of God. I don't want to be separated and cut off from the life of God. I don't want to be, you know, have some wall built between me and God because of this, some kind of heart disease, some kind of heart failure, heart problem that can be fixed. Because we have a surgeon, the one that performed that circumcision of our heart, he can work in all kinds of hearts, all kinds of conditions, and he can heal those hearts. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. That's why he came here. That was his mission. And it's still his mission. He's here today to heal the brokenhearted. Hearts that are not functioning right, that are not working right. Mark 7:21, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly, and the list goes on and on. It's what's in a man's heart. They say, you know, what comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart. Of course, the devil is also involved in stirring up whatever he can, always trying to stir things up, always trying to cause trouble, because he wants to tamper with our heart. He wants to darken our heart. He wants to destroy our heart, if possible, and our destiny, our calling. That's why God tells us in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your heart. If we want to feel that closeness with God, it's got to be in here, in our heart. Just like with our physical heart, we need to take certain precautions to watch over that heart that will benefit our heart. I take blood pressure medicine. I have high blood pressure. So if I hadn't done something, my heart would have gotten weak and, you know, overtaxed, and I could have died from a heart attack because of high blood pressure. Everybody here, you should all check your blood pressure, especially if you're getting a little older. Maybe you need to be on blood pressure medicine or do whatever else. Maybe it's a matter of, you know, eating or exercise or whatever it is. But it's a precaution we can take to stop heart damage. And in the spiritual realm, there are precautions we can take. There are things we can do to prevent heart damage. God's Word gives us all kinds of ways that we can use to take care of our heart, to keep it strong and passionate towards Him. That's what He's looking for. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we're being told there not to lose heart. Even though our body might be getting older, even though things are starting to break down maybe, but inside, in our heart, in who we really are, that part can actually keep improving all throughout our life till the day we die. We are becoming more and more like the image of Christ. It's telling us there that our troubles are going to pass away, that these things are light and momentary compared to the eternal that, you know, that far outweighs them all. Jesus tells us in other places not to let our hearts be anxious or full of worry, because he knows that this worry is not good for us. Luke 12:22, Jesus said to his disciples, "There I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, or about your body, or what you will wear." In 12:29, "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink." Do not worry about it. Don't worry about it. He doesn't want us to worry. He tells us, in fact, just to not to worry about that, but to seek first his kingdom. That's a clue. Our spiritual well-being will not be doing well if all our focus is on worrying about how we're going to get by, what we're going to do, how we're going to make it. God wants to put first and foremost his kingdom. Colossians 3:1, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Set our hearts on things above. That's what we are to love. That's what we are to, you know, to honor and to love and to care about. Certainly we have to take care of the things on this earth. We do have to work to eat. We have to take care of our family. We have to take care of our home and our car and all those kind of things. Yeah, we got to take care of all that stuff and deal with all them, but that's not why we live. To live is for Christ. We're told to make heaven our treasure. Luke 12:34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we need to make heaven our treasure. That needs to be the thing that we're sold out on, that is our retirement package. Not our 403B or our 401K or our IRA or Roth IRA. All those things are important. I think everybody should have those. I believe in saving for retirement. I think we should all do that. But that's not really the end game. The real end game is up there in heaven. That's where we're really making our deposits with everything that we do. That's the way it should be. In light of that, everything that we do, and even as we're doing that, that still means taking care of the business, which means funding that IRA so you're not a burden on your family when you're old. That's important. But we still do it in light of Christ. All these are different keys to help us prevent heart disease. Another important safeguard is to trust. John 14:1 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Trusting God, putting our trust in him, helps prevent heart disease. It helps those hearts from breaking down as we know that God's there, as we can trust in him during those struggles, during those times when the house mortgage payment isn't there, or maybe the closing date's been moved again, or maybe, you know, this happened, or maybe the wedding plans are going crazy, or maybe the car is breaking down, or all these things, we have to get out there and take care of the business. But we have to remember there's somebody that oversees it all. And he says, "Don't worry about it. Just go through the process. Go through the steps. And I'll be behind you. I'll be there. Do what we need to do. Do it as unto the Lord. And then put our trust in him that he'll help things work out in the end." Another thing that we can do is get into God's presence. Psalm 16:8-9. "I set the Lord always before me. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, and my body will rest secure." That's a great little piece of a psalm there. Psalm 16:8-9. "I've set the Lord always before me." In other words, I think about God all the time. With him at my right hand, I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to be knocked down. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. And that's a key, too, to let that rejoicing come out. Because it causes this, as we speak out, as we rejoice and speak it out, it does something. As we give, we receive. Giving God the praise, rejoicing in him, lifting up his name, declaring his praises, then more stuff comes back. We begin to see it. God's word also brings joy to the heart. Psalm 19, 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving or refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. God's word brings joy to our heart. Another thing is meditating on Jesus. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God wants us to think about Jesus and all he went through for us. And even the others, the apostles, other Christians who have gone on ahead of us. Consider those who endured such opposition from men or sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Be thankful. We should always be thankful. The more thankful we are, the more we go over the things that God has done for us, the more we recognize the things that God has done for us, the more joy that brings to our heart. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That's that thankfulness, gratitude to God, being thankful for what he's done. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Sad to say, but you will have trouble. We all know it. But he says, but take heart. In other words, let your heart be lifted up is what he's saying. Let your heart be strengthened is what he's saying. Because I have overcome the world. In Christ, we can have peace. We can have joy. We can be filled with his love. In him. We need to fill our hearts up with the Lord and walk in his will. Because when we delight in his will, when we delight in his ways, you know what it says in Psalm 37:4? That then it says that the Lord will give us the desires of our heart. But that doesn't happen until his desires become ours. His will becomes ours. So we have to get in tune with him. Jesus wants to stir up our hearts so that we're filled with passion, so that we're filled with desire for him. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He says he'd rather have us be cold and just, you know, than lukewarm, at least if we're cold. Then he'd rather have us be either cold or hot, but not lukewarm. If we're cold, at least we have the chance of getting saved. If we're lukewarm, it means we're just sort of wishy-washy with God and with everything else. In fact, he says the wishy-washy just wants to spit out of his mouth. Just like getting food that's like almost getting cold, sort of lukewarm. You know, I like mine hot. You go out with Pastor Don, if he gets a bowl of soup, almost every time he gets you, they'll say, oh, could you put this back in the microwave? I like this really hot. I like my food hot too. I wouldn't want it lukewarm. Do you ever go to a restaurant and put butter on your potatoes and it sits there until you're done eating? You take a bite and it's like the middle is cool, you know, and you're thinking like, oh, man, can you warm these up? Or you get lasagna and you cut it in the middle and the inside is cool. They didn't heat it up enough. That's no good. It's sort of warm on the outside, but, you know, God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. Remember the story about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? They said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us? Spent time with Jesus, and they got his word, they got his life into him, and their hearts were burning up. Jesus wants to talk to us too. Those two weren't the only ones. Jesus wants to talk to us on the road, in the car, in our closet, like Ray was talking about, in the house, during worship, during work, at all times and places, anywhere and everywhere. He wants to talk with us. He's always knocking at our door saying, hey, can I come in? He does that through his Holy Spirit. He ministers to his life. He wants to protect our hearts from heart disease so that we can fulfill our purpose in Christ. That's why it's so important for us to guard our hearts above all else and make sure that that fire is going on in there. You know, you guys know I love fires. And it's a well-established fact. And when I have a fire, I like to have a big fire. I mean, how many people here like to have a smoldering couple wet logs in a fire that smoke's coming out and there's hardly any flames and the whole night long you just sit there and smoke's, you know, it's not burning at all. There's no heat, you know. I mean, who wants that kind of fire? I want a fire, you know, that's burning. And that's what God wants in us. He wants our hearts to be on fire for Him. That's why we need to guard our hearts above all else. If we want everything that God has for us, if we want to get it all, then we need to give it all. We need to give God our whole heart. Don't let disease set in. We don't want to be ill at ease with God. Diseased with God. We want to be in tune with Him so that our heart is solid, strong, full of God. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Let's just pray for our hearts right now. You know, maybe you've been feeling that your heart isn't where it should be. It just isn't there. I know I love God, but I just don't feel it. I know God loves me, but I don't know, I just don't have any, you know, any kind of feeling there. You know, I just don't feel like there's any life there, any passion there. Maybe there's something missing. Maybe God's got, you know, a way that He can break into that heart if we open up to Him. Maybe we need to come to Him and repent of something. Maybe we need to spend more time with Him. Maybe we need to, you know, renew our commitment to Him. Maybe you need to come up here for prayer this morning and just say, God, just touch me. Let the anointing of, you know, when these guys are up here praying, you know, it's not that they're not here because they're spiritual giants, although they're all people that we've considered and they're here because we want them here. Because they do have a consistency in their life with God. But it's not that they're this spiritual giant, it's that they've made themselves available to be a vessel so that when they lay hands on you, in faith, as you step up, God can then touch you. As they pray in faith for you and you receive in faith, then that's why we believe God can do things through prayer. Prayer is important. Putting our faith in God is important. And sometimes we need to take a step. Sometimes it's that actually getting up and saying, well, all right, I'm going to go up. Sometimes that's the important step that we need to take to get touched by God. It's nice to hear me pray, and, you know, I'll pray for all of us right now. But sometimes we need to take that extra step. So I'm just encouraging you in that if your heart's not where you feel it, maybe should be. So, Father, we just pray right now for everyone hearing this message, Lord God. I pray that each one of us, Lord, that our hearts would be touched right here, right now, today. That You would prick our hearts. That You would strengthen our hearts. That You would encourage our hearts. That You would turn up the gas. And let our hearts catch on fire. Lord, I know we have to do our part. But Lord, I just pray that You would pour out an anointing today through your Holy Spirit, Lord God, upon everyone hearing this message right now, that each one of us, that our hearts would be brought to a new level, brought up a notch or two or three, to a new level of commitment, a new level of love, a new level of passion for you, Lord God. Fill our hearts with your love. Let us be like those two men on the road to Emmaus. Weren't our hearts burning within us as we heard him speak? Speak to us, Lord. Cause our hearts to burn with passion. Lord, we turn this time over to you. I turn this message over to you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.